Amen. Good evening, church. It's great to see you back again. Thank you for being faithful again today. I was so pleased and impressed by the musical this morning. God bless all of you who had anything to do with that. That was just, it was incredible. I loved it. Matthew chapter 2. I'm going to read a little bit of what we know as the Christmas story here. And then I want to share three views of Christmas with you. Matthew chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Now when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" And then when Herod had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star should appear. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." And when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And I'm going to stop right there. You know, there are a lot of opinions about Christmas, and if you go to the shopping mall, you might get any number of opinions. Some people look very pleased and very happy to get opportunity to shop. Some folks really enjoy shopping. Some folks didn't enjoy the mall because there's lots of opportunities. I'm not one of those. At the same time, when you see that, you look, and you, if you look closely, if you just pick a bench and just begin to look, a lot of people are stressed. A lot of people are unhappy. A lot of people aren't pleasant about being there. A lot of times they just don't really understand what the real Christmas is all about. When Jesus was born, as he grew up, the chief priests and the scribes, who were the religious leaders or part of the religious leadership, basically ignored most of the teachings of Jesus. And they did their best to ignore him, except for those times when they chose to assault him and attack him. They were the learned ones. They knew the scriptures. They would have been the first ones that should have known and recognized that this Christ, this child, was the Christ. They had been looking for him, but they'd been looking in their own way, and they'd been looking in their own time. His birth should have meant more to that group of people than anybody else. They would have expected him more, but it didn't happen. They were basically clueless. And as I got this message together, I thought, you know, there's three things that we know about Christmas. And it's almost like the words of a song, except for these folks, they were singing, "Oh, come, let us ignore him." And that's how the world is in a lot of ways today. The world doesn't know that the Christmas season is all about Jesus. I want to read something for you that was... there was an interview that was given to Ben Stein on CBS Monday Morning Commentary, and it's called My Confession, and I love what he has to say here. He says, "I am a Jew, and every single one of my ancestors was Jewish. And it doesn't bother me, even a little bit, when people call those beautiful, lit-up, bejeweled trees Christmas trees. I don't feel threatened. I don't feel discriminated against, because that's what they are. They're Christmas trees. And it doesn't bother me a bit when people say Merry Christmas to me. I don't think they're slighting me or getting ready to put me in a ghetto. In fact, I kind of like it. It shows that we're all, in some degree, brothers and sisters celebrating this happiest time of the year. It doesn't bother me at all that there's a manger scene on display at a key intersection near my beach house in Malibu. If people want a church, it's just as fine with me as is the menorah, which is a few hundred yards away. Now listen, I don't like getting pushed around as a Jew, and I don't think Christians like getting pushed around for being Christians. I think people who believe in God are sick and tired of getting pushed around, period. I have no idea where the concept came from that they could just push people around. I can't find it in the Constitution, and I don't like it being shoved down my throat. Or maybe we can put it another day, another way. Where did the idea come from that we should worship others and we're not allowed to worship God as we understand Him? I guess that's a sign that I'm getting old too. But there are a lot of us who are wondering where these other gods came from and where America's headed to when they can't seem to worship the God that we grew up knowing. And then he said this, and this really got my attention. He said, Billy Graham's daughter was interviewed on the early show, and this has been some years ago. And the interviewer asked her, said, how could God let something like Hurricane Katrina happen? How could God allow such a tragedy to take place in New Orleans? And Ann Graham gave an extremely profound and insightful response. And she said this, and I quote, I believe God is deeply saddened by this, just as we are. But for years, we've been telling God to get out of our schools, to get out of our government, to get out of our lives. And being the gentleman that he is, I believe that he's calmly backed out. How can we expect God to give us his blessing and his protection if we demand that he leave us alone? In light of the recent events, terror attacks, school shootings, etc. And I think it all started back when Madeline Murray O'Hare, and by the way, she was murdered, complained that she didn't want prayer in our schools, and we said, okay. And then somebody said, you better not read the Bible in school. The Bible says, thou shalt not kill, and thou shalt not steal, and love your neighbor as yourself. But we shouldn't be reading that, so we said, okay. And then Dr. Benjamin Spock said that we shouldn't spank our children when they misbehave because their little personalities might be warped and we might damage their self-esteem. And Dr. Spock's son, by the way, committed suicide. And we said an expert should know what he's talking about, so we said, okay. Now we're asking ourselves why our children have no conscience, why they don't know right from wrong, and why it doesn't bother them to kill strangers, their classmates, and themselves. Probably if we think about it long and hard enough, we can figure it out. I think it has a great deal to do with what the Bible says. We reap what we sow. Funny how simple it is for people to trash God and then wonder why the world's going to hell. Funny how we believe that what the newspapers say, but we question what the Bible says. Funny how you can send jokes through the email and they spread like wildfire, but when you start sending messages regarding the Lord, people think twice about sharing those. Funny how lewd and crude and vulgar and obscene articles pass through freely through cyberspace, but public discussion of God is suppressed in the school and in the workplace. Well, here's my question. Are you laughing now? Funny how we can be more worried about what other people think of us than what God thinks of us. That's powerful, folks. That came from Ann Graham, Billy Graham's daughter. And here's the thing. This time of the year, as beautiful as it is and as meaningful as the message of Jesus is, as meaningful as the birth of Christ is, there is time when we could sing the song, Oh, Come, Let Us Ignore Him. I was in Old Town last night. Had the privilege to go over there with my really good friend, Dana Cheatham. And I was putting my old truck to the test. It's the first time I'd driven it that far. And for those of you who don't know, I have a very loud and rambunctious looking 54 Ford pickup truck, and I enjoy it very much. And the furthest I'd ever been was to Lakeland and back, and to Eagle Lake and back to their church, praying the whole time that this bucket of rust would get me down there and back. So I just took a cheap shot last night and decided I was going to go to Old Town, and I didn't want to tow it. I was going to drive it. So I drove it over there, and it did real good. And I got it parked, and I got to looking around a little bit, and there was nothing leaking anywhere, Paul. Can you imagine that? Nothing. Not a drop of nothing. I mean nothing leaking anywhere. And I'm thinking, this has got to be something special. Well, while I was over there, I did not know, but they were having a golf cart parade. A Christmas golf cart parade. Never seen that thing before in my life. So here we are, and Dana and I are, he's walking, and I'm riding my little scooter around. And the next thing you know, here comes these golf carts, and they got lights everywhere. They got flashing lights. They got Christmas trees. They got Santa Clauses riding in them. They got elves sitting on the back. There's flowers hanging off all the sides. They got sleighs and reindeer up on the roof. And they got hippie buses. And I mean, you just can't imagine. There was 50 of those golf carts that rode down the middle of Old Town. If you've never been there, you don't really know what I'm talking about. But it's a brick road that runs down the middle of a shopping area. It's got two lanes, one on one side and one on the other side, and a little place in the middle where people gather up. And as I was watching these carts go by, I was enjoying it to a degree, but there was something missing. Out of 50 golf carts, there wasn't a single cart that had anything at all to do with Jesus. It got my attention. Because as I kept watching them go by, now take my word for it, they were beautiful. They were very well done. There was some time spent in what they did on these carts. But I'm thinking to myself, standing here in the middle of this place, there's not a single cart that represents the real story of Christmas. So when I stopped to think about it, oh, come, let us ignore him. Boy, that's where we are in the world today, folks. Really and truly, that's where we are. So much is about everything other than this child born of a virgin to be the sacrificial lamb for my sins and for your sins. And I thought, wow, it's a sad commentary when the religious leaders who could look them in the eye didn't get it. They didn't get it. They were clueless. And they had all the scripture there that they could ever want to let them know that that was happening. And I believe, as sad as it is, that today's culture ultimately ignores the real meaning of Christmas. And some of that is by design. I understand there's a certain level of ignorance. And ignorance is just that you don't know about something. It's not stupid, is that you can't learn. But ignorant is that you just don't know. And I don't know how we could get 2,000 plus years removed from the birth of Jesus Christ, and there could actually be people that we walk through the grocery store with who have no clue what the real meaning of Christmas is. And there's a second view of Christmas. It's called, Oh, Come, Let Us Explore Him. Some people search for real meaning in their lives. They might read their horoscope on every day of the week, or they might sign up to go see a medium or a psychic, or they might have some kind of affection toward a philosophy or a particular philosopher, and they try to live their life based on those things. You know, they want to explore what's going on. Now, the shepherds in Luke chapter 2, verse 15, it talks about the shepherds who with excitement, they came to see Jesus. They want to know what this was all about. They saw some things going on. They heard some things from angels. And their excitement got them to the point where they wanted to come and find out. And the scripture says that they left immediately. And they went searching with Jesus. And they had great joy when they went to search. They wanted to find the Christ child. But like Herod, they're kind of troubled about him. And they don't know exactly what to do and how to go about doing this. And they go and they see things that they can't even hardly imagine with their own two eyes. And they wanted to explore him. It's one thing to know about Jesus. It's completely something different to know him. And I believe there are a lot of people that would love to explore this whole issue of Christmas. Why do we do what we do? Why do some people have a Santa Claus in their yard and somebody else has a manger scene in their yard? Let's explore this process. Let me check with somebody and see what that's about. Could we really be that clueless as a culture? That's the question that I'm asking myself while I'm getting ready to preach this message. Could we really be that clueless? 2,000 years removed from the birth of Jesus, can we still just not know? Do we still need to explore? Are we so biblically ignorant as a culture that we can't figure out that in Matthew and in Luke, the only two gospels that record his birth, there's everything you'd need to know about Jesus? And I believe that only when we experience Jesus Christ will we see the real reason for the season. I love those signs. You know, Jesus, he's the reason for the season. I had one for years until I think I ran over it with a truck and destroyed it. Not by design, let me add that. But I did that. These shepherds, they didn't waste any time, and they didn't let anything stand in their way. Luke 2:16 says they came with haste. That word literally means they jumped the walls. These guys did whatever was necessary. They got the message that this child was being born or had been born, and they came to see for themselves. They wanted to explore. These guys had the same tendency and could have done the same thing that a lot of our world does right now. They could have been interested in Jesus and left it there. But they went over all the barriers that was in front of them. They went over all the obstacles that they had there to go over to be able to see Jesus. And I think that for you and I to have the kind of Christmas that we need to have, we'll have to do more than ignore Jesus. We'll have to do a whole lot more than explore Jesus. We'll have to get to that place where we absolutely and completely adore Jesus. So the third choice for Christmas is, oh, come, let us adore him. And we do that, don't we, believers? It's not hard to adore Jesus considering the price that he paid for us. The wise men, they worship Jesus. Their wisdom, their desire to know what this was all about led them to Christ, not away from Christ. Their concern, their passion, their curiosity, for lack of a better word, they wanted to find out what was going on. And when they got there, Herod wanted to meet with them, and he insisted that they be that they understand what was going on. He wanted to find out where this child was at. Herod didn't care. He lied to him. He said he wanted to worship. He didn't want to worship, because we know the Word of God says later that he began to destroy all the children that was under 2 years of age. He didn't want any competitors. These wise men sought out Jesus. And I love the, it's either a tag or a bumper sticker or a sign in somebody's yard. Wise men still seek Jesus. And I believe that with all my heart. I love that. I've seen it on a tag. I've seen it on a bumper sticker. I've seen it on a sign. I've seen it in the window. I've seen stuff printed out on the roofs of houses and all like this. And I shared with you not long ago that it was a long time for me to get all fired up and all motivated about Christmas. But brothers and sisters, I'm happy to announce to you that I'm loving it right now. This is a beautiful season of the year. You know, these guys followed the star and it led them to Jesus. They followed the guidance that was put before them and it led them to Jesus. Jesus himself is called the bright and morning star. And when people come to him, they too will depart in a different direction, like these guys were told, because of meeting Jesus Christ. And I love this passage of scripture because Herod didn't know, and he really didn't want to know, to worship Jesus. He did this in order to find him out so that he could destroy him. But when it gets down to the men, in verse 5 it says, "And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea." That's what the answer was. This is where Christ is going to be born, in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it's written. It's written in God's word. Why didn't the religious leaders know that? Because they ignored Jesus. The wise men here said, it's there. It's written by the prophet. O thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah, verse 6, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. That's written a long, long time before Jesus ever showed up on the scene. The prophets of old knew and understand what that was going to be about. Not only did the wise men want to find out about Jesus, the shepherds wanted to find out about Jesus, to worship him, just like the wise men. Herod was the only one that I know of here, and the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees and all the religious leaders that didn't have any time or place for Jesus. Sometimes the poor innkeeper gets lambasted that he didn't have any room. Well, the guys that didn't have any room for Jesus was the religious leadership, and that was the one group of guys who should have known more, and they apparently did not. Verse 8 says, "And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." Yeah, right. Herod had no desire to worship Jesus. But I love his words. Go and search diligently. Sometimes we have to search diligently to find the things that we need. Sometimes we have to get past the fact that it's not always easy to get answers to our questions. It's not always simple to wait for God to answer our prayers. Verse 9 says, when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was at. And I love this next verse. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Y'all sang about that this morning. I remember, not only was it beautiful, but it was true. So here's what we're facing in this Christmas season. Will we be, oh, come, let us ignore him? I don't think so as the church. That's not going to happen here. But much of the world that we live in will have that opinion. Or will it be, oh, come, let us explore him? Let me just get an idea who he is. I'd like some information about him. I want to know about him, but I don't really want to know him, because if I know him, that comes with expectations, and there's a lot of the world that may understand what the Christmas season is all about, but they don't want to get too close because it comes with expectations. And then there are those of us who are so thankful to God that our choice is, oh, come, let us adore him. He is worthy of our praise. He is our Savior and Lord. He is the Lamb slain for the sins of the world. He is the only one qualified for you and I to be our Savior and our Lord. And all of the praise that we can put on him, all of the adoration that we can have toward him, all of the joy and all of the precious moments that we can praise his name and his work, let's do that this season. As a church, let's celebrate maybe like we have never celebrated before. And when we get a chance to sing, let's sing it from way down on the inside. It don't make no difference what kind of voice you got. I learned that a long time ago. They let me be in the choir at Gapway, and I'm pretty satisfied it was for comic relief because I have very little talent. But I learned a lot, and I learned to love the music of the faith. We sing and we celebrate. We pray and we praise. We teach and we preach, and we love and we fellowship. And as the family of God, we have every reason to adore him. So I'm just going to ask you this season, let it be the absolute best days of adoration for our Lord Jesus that you have ever spent. And watch what God is willing to do in you and for you. Lena Vista Baptist Church, I love you dearly, and I appreciate you more than you will ever know. Let's just make this the best it's ever been. You guys all right with that? Just don't ignore him. Let's don't explore him. Let's absolutely adore him. Maybe you're here tonight. I look around and I doubt very seriously in the congregation that we have tonight that there's anybody here that wouldn't know the Lord Jesus as their Savior, but I have to put it out there. If you don't, tonight's a great night. This Christmas can be the best that it's ever been because you can come to know the Christ of Christmas. Maybe you're not a member. You need to join this church. Maybe you just need some time at the altar. I will let you and the Holy Spirit figure that out while we sing our invitation. Would you stand with me as we pray? Father, thank you.